and it's I think it's called the Haunted Heart. So I myself, I've not even previewed that one, I don't think. I don't recall it, so I'll be looking at that coming up. But those that we've seen have been very, very good, and I hope you've picked up something from it. This past week, and many weeks really, we go through life, and I certainly don't want to dwell on the negative things and all that, but life is full of some negative things. But it depends on where you want to stay. Where do you want to place your tent, you know? And so throughout the week here, I've just been thinking of stuff, as we all do. We all have stuff. Anybody got stuff this week you've been thinking on, you know? And I'm beginning to realize this myself personally, that it was on a road of just bad stuff, just always negativity, always the gloomy stuff and the disheartening stuff, and many things happen in our lives. But as I focused on some of these things and thinking about them, you know, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. How about you? Because, see, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. You know, when we get ourselves into the doldrums, dooms and, oh boy, what more, how this? Thank God for the Holy Spirit in us. Thank God for Jesus going so that the Holy Spirit could come. And I'm glad I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. How about you? Because, see, the Holy Spirit is the one that reactivates us into the things of God. The devil wants to keep us in the dooms and the glooms of the world, of all the stuff that's going on locally, things in your job, things in your family, things in just anything that can just hold you back and just make you think like, oh, great, another day to get up. You know, it happens pretty easily. But the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, he comes along and he says, wait a minute, there's better things than that. And so this week was like that. Nehemiah, you know, you look there, and what came out of this was that, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. As I look at this, I'm talking about joy becomes strength. Where do we get our strength from? Well, we get it through Christ, Christ alone. But it's through those things and attributes and things that he has for us. And I'm hoping to share some of those things in the book of John. We won't be able to hit them all, I'm sure, but just to give a sample, we'll just see where we go. But joy of the Lord is my strength. Is it your strength? Amplified says this in that same verse. It says, and do not be worried. We have sorrows, we have worries. The Amplified says, don't be worried, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And then it adds, it is your stronghold. Amen. Oh, Nehemiah 8:10. In Nehemiah 8:10, so the New King James says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amplified says, do not be worried. See, I can see these areas of this week of sorrows and worries. You know, it kind of ties into those times of our anxiousness and anxieties. The things that the video that Stephen Furtick has been taking us through on, you know, when anxiety attacks and it'll happen. The New Living will say this for that same area. It says, don't be dejected and sad. How many here at times we feel dejected? You know, rejected, dejected, you know, whatever it might be. And sad. So we've got sorrow, we've got worries, we've got dejection, we've got sadness. That pretty well names a lot of the things that happens in life today, right? But the joy of the Lord, let it be your strength. It's got to be something that you need to realize and understand, that you need to pull on that from Christ. Christ is enough for me. See, is Christ enough for you in your times? And I'm here to say, yes, he is, because his word says he is. And I just hope that you're able to pull from that, pull from his word, and to be able to be strong. And the Lord wants you to have that joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. I liked another version or another verse that we look at here, because in God's Word, in Psalms, it talks about that joy comes in the morning. In Psalms 30, 1 through 5, it talks about, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. You've rescued me. You've not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You've brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You've kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. And for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. We were talking a little bit about sometimes the chastisement of the Lord back in Sunday school with this book that we're reading there about the shepherding and whatnot, and how correction is necessary, discipline is necessary. Discipline and correction can be done in love, right? And it's done for our benefit. But the Lord will do these things at times if we get out of line, or if we're not fulfilling his commandments or doing what he has asked us, I'm sure. But his anger only lasts for that moment, but his favor will last a lifetime. And then it ends with, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And so we find encouragement in God's Word. I hope you do, I do, into these times that we go through. That weeping could be for many things in our natural life of things that we go through. So the word joy, what is this word joy? It's a positive attitude. It's a pleasant emotion. It's delight. Where is your attitude? You know? Doesn't it say something like your attitude is going to make up where your altitude is at and how you climb, the attitude of where you're at in that plane? Are you pointed up? Are you pointed at to where the currents of the word of the air can lift you up, you know, like that of a plane or like that of a bird, you know, that attitude of where your nose is at? Where is your nose? You want your nose up a little bit. I think that's the thing that happens, because normally when we find people despondent and sad and worried and all of these things, do you ever see their head held high? Or do we see their head held down? They're looking down at the ground. You can tell when you walk up to somebody and they're really having a bad day, because they're like this. Tim, what's going on? Nothing. Well, it looks like there's something going on. You don't seem to be your usual self, or whatever the case might be, or you're looking down. And we've got to realize that kind of shows our attitude, really. It's our nose is pointed down. We're not going to climb, you know. But as we go through adversities and things, and I'm not saying we're going to get this strength on ourselves and this joy and this peace on ourselves, because it's not going to happen that way, is it? Jesus says that. But weeping may last through the night, but joy does come in that morning. Joy is also such words as gladness and contentment and cheerfulness. The joy that we receive from God is a joy that is holy and pure. It will rise above the circumstances. Your joy will rise above your problem. Do you believe that? Your joy will rise above that problem that you're dealing with. And it'll focus on the very character of God. And that's what it is where are we looking for our help? Where does my help come from? Where does your help come from? What does God's Word say our help comes from? It comes from Him. And then I've got some other things here I was going to go into, but then I don't know if I'm going to do that on this sheet. I think, I don't know. Because as I began to look at it some more and going into John a little bit, the first thing that I looked at that got me in this direction was John 15:11. Because here again, I was thinking of these weeks, several weeks, past months, several months, maybe the whole year, I don't know. That it finally gets to that point to where you say, enough is enough. And so John 15:11 says, These things I have spoken to you that who? My joy. Jesus' joy will remain in you, and that my joy, now he, my joy, will be full. Now we come through that as we look at that. He's coming out of the dissertations of the vine and the branches. We find many things in that vine and the branches, but if you just go through 15, he talks about that I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, we know the story, don't we? It's pruned. It's plucked out. Jesus is the vine. Father God's the dresser of the vine. And who are we? We are the branches. And the thing he continues to reiterate throughout this is that we need to abide in him or remain in him. And I'm going to see what happens here. I'm going to go to this little thing and see what happens. That every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. As we go through here, we find throughout many of this, like in 9, it goes, as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. And I think the key in this is that remain. Remain. Remain in what? Remain in my love. Continue to exist in those things of God, amen, and what Christ is about. And if you go through this, the vine and the dresser, you'll find that many times where it'll either say, abide in me or remain in me, and we've got to do that. If we're going to come through situations in our lives, you're not going to be able to attain it on your own. You might survive for a short time, but I can pretty well guarantee you, and I would imagine if we'd let this mic be open and say, here, share of a time when you thought you could handle the situation and deal with it on your own. And I believe many of the final conversations would end in, but it didn't last very long, or I got knocked down to where I didn't have strength to even survive. So we talk about that in the vine and the dresser, and that's where when we come to 15:11, he's talking about that. And then as he gets into, before we get to 11, he's talking about love and joy is perfected. Remember when something in the Word says that, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Perfect, perfection, maturing in those things. I think we're seeing the same thing here. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. People walk through this life many times going, I've not loved. I feel unloved. I feel like, you know, nobody loves me, that it's just me. And that's those times that if we can share God's word, that we could say, I know someone that loves you, right? That he loves you enough that he died for you. God loves you so much that he sent his son for you. But we hear that many times. I just don't feel loved. But Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, I will have loved you. Abide. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will be able to abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. That's verse 10, John 15:10. And then we come to 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I think to help us understand those things, that he will be there and that joy is there, is if I go even back to John 14. John, just chapter 14. We're not going to read the whole thing. But as we look at this, we find that it's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is speaking, let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. Now, he's sharing this in regards to, you know, his time of crucifixion is coming. He's going to be leaving his disciples. He says, what? Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart, and you can look up heart, that troubled is anxiousness, anxiety, any of these type words that we're looking at. Fear is the same way, anxiety and anxiousness. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on to talks about, he goes to the Father's house where there's many mansions, and he's preparing a place for us in those times of when our time on this earth is no longer, and he calls us home. Continues on in 14:7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. They are the one, the same, and one and the same, either way, you know. And it goes on to where he says, and it was at Philip, he says, you know, have I been with you so long that you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. For those disciples, they saw Jesus. If they saw Jesus, they saw who? God. What a wonderful thing for them. They have one up on us, so to speak. You know, they saw Jesus, you're seeing the Father God. Jesus goes, and now we have the Holy Spirit. But it's the Holy Spirit is even a much more richer relationship with us, because he's with us and he's everywhere, you know. Now, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere, correct? Jesus was not able to be present everywhere. He was only present where he was at, where he was present. And wherever he was at, people got the benefits of him. His teachings, his ministry, his healing, maybe his scolding. But wherever he was at, that's where he was at. But now we have the Holy Spirit, where now the Holy Spirit visits all of us at the same time, anywhere in the world, all around, 365 days of the year. Amen. And that's where God can continually minister into us now, and that if we trust him and take him for his word in his Bible, or the word that comes out of the Bible, that we are with God and God is with us. And if we know that and realize that and believe that and remain into him and come to him and stay with him, Jesus tells us a wonderful thing about love and peace and joy. Talks about the Helper, the Holy Spirit, in 14:15. We go through all of this and then get over to 25. In John 14:25, the gift of his peace. See, we go through life with a lot of stuff. You'll probably get, I myself at times get tired of hearing myself say that, but you know what? The next day I get up and I come into life, and life has stuff again. Life has situations and things that a lot of it is I have no control over. Do you? Generally not. But life comes every day. You know, joy does come in the morning. You know, think of that at night when you're at home and it's dark, and now it's getting darker sooner and staying darker longer, wintertime. It's kind of a interesting thing. We'll start hearing of more people. If people are somewhat prone to depression, it's going to be a little bit more elevated now because of the darkness and what that does to that person a lot of times. Because after about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, what happens? It gets to be gloomy and dark again. It's like, oh, you know. Some people say, I go to work in the dark, I get home in the dark, you know. That's life. There's a lot of gloominess and darkness out there, even when the sun is up, if you're looking around and seeing things that take place. But to look at the body of Christ and to realize that not only has he said, joy I give to you, joy I leave with you, he talks about peace he gives to these things. He says in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. And here it is, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. As you go through life, you go through your day. Remember I was saying this past week, I was just thinking of things. I was like, oh man, this is happening, da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden within me, the Holy Spirit enlightens me to say, hey, Tim, hold on. Yeah, this is life and life is happening, but remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Remember what Jesus says that he's leaving you that joy. In him is joy, and he will leave you joy. But it had to be on my part to remember that, to say, well, and then after I've heard that by the Holy Spirit into my spirit, is that I've got to do something with that. I can either ignore it. How many people here ignore the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we do, don't we? We bully our way through. We think we know better. We think we've got it. We don't know this, that, and other, but I know I can do it. Just give me it, and I'll do it. Many times we ignore the Holy Spirit, and I think those are those times when we ignore the Holy Spirit, we end up coming to that alley there's a dead end in it. And in that dead end, there's no way out, and all you've got is a brick wall in front of you, and you're thinking, like, how am I going to get out of this? And then some of us will go as far as saying, well, Lord, why did you take me down this alley into a dead end? And I think a lot of it is because we don't stop before we make that turn, and we're not listening and obeying through the Holy Spirit to hear him and to follow his leading. But Jesus is saying this, that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. As you read God's word, and that's the first thing you've got to do, right? Can the Holy Spirit bring something back to you that you've not read? Generally not. Now, this is interesting, I guess, because I've had at times where I've had an unction of something in my spirit, and I felt like that was God, and I hadn't really recalled it somewhere within the Scriptures itself. But it's kind of a fun thing when you begin to maybe start turning to some scriptures and you start reading, all of a sudden this thing comes about. Has anybody ever had that happen? It's like, wow, that's in his word. So there, just like where you can't explain everything about God, why he does this, why he doesn't do that, we'll never have those answers. The same way with the Holy Spirit, because he is God, is that there'll be things that the Holy Spirit will do in you, for you, through you, that you don't even understand. And it could be maybe bringing something in some kind of a word or some kind of an example or something, or just some kind of a word or something that you will come up with that it is in his word that maybe you didn't even read it. It's kind of it's wild. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for love's love for us and his care for us. And for Jesus to come to say that the joy I have, I give you. The peace I have, I give you. The strength I have. All of these things we get through who? Christ. Get into 16 in John 16. 16:16. Sorrow will turn to joy. You know, our video of last week talking about it'll happen, and he was talking about how God will warn you but not create worry within you. That's an important thing to remember, that there's a warning that the Holy Spirit will give us. But it's not there to create that worry. But now if you ignore the warnings, chances are you're going to have some suffering. So sorrow will turn into joy? How does that happen? It says here, a little while you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Some of his disciples were among themselves. What is this that he's saying? And Jesus says, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Here again, this is all talking in regards to the crucifixion, and his time was coming to a close, being present with them. And he was trying to prepare them, trying to warn them, trying to encourage them. trying to let him know that this thing is going to happen. I'm not going to always be with you, and I'm not going to be with you many more days from now. But you will have this, and I will leave you this, and you know this, and I will come back. But for a time, this is what's going to happen. He says, because I'm going to the Father. And they said, therefore, in verse 18, what is this that he says? A little while, we do not know what he is saying. Jesus knew that they desire to ask him, so he says to them in verse 19, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, in a little while, you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful. Well, he was talking about his death, right? There are going to be some at his death that will be joyful because they did him in. They got what they wanted. And it's those, you know, it's the religious order. They had him crucified. He's no longer part of worrying. They don't have to worry about what he is doing into, you know, sharing the things of God. And they didn't quite understand it for sure. But they were the ones that were happy and rejoicing. His followers were the ones that were sorrowful. But then he says, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Therefore, you now have sorrow, and I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one can take from you. If we are walking close with God, and if we are allowing the Holy Spirit to move in us and lead us and direct us, I myself personally should not have to worry about my days ahead. And even though I hear of negative things, the joy, the peace, the strength, the things that God has put within me, they're there for me. But there's a part on my part that I've got to play. And what is that? Is he just willy-nilly just going to hand all this stuff out to me and say, you know, Tim, go do your thing now and have fun? No, it's with reverence to him. It's with honoring him. It's following him, it's obeying him, it's following his commandments, it's staying connected to him, right? See, some people get some of these things and they like all those words, they like the scriptures, sounds very good, you know, of my worry will turn into sorrow, my sorrow will turn into joy, my weakness will be in strength and all these things. But they don't remember, or they don't follow, or they don't pay attention to, it's a part of you that you've got to play within that. And we've got to stay close to who? God. We've got to keep him forefront above all things that we go through in this life. Whatever it is, we've got to turn to God. Amen? Amen. We've got to continue to keep him forefront in everything that we think and do. We've got everything that we need. I'd encourage you to pull on it, to use it, to allow it to come up into your life and to develop where you're at. Man, I tell you, you know, the last couple of weeks, last week or so, you know, a lot of sorrowful things take place. Even within the realms that I'm a part of, with the funerals that maybe I'm called upon to do that maybe not even members of this church, but it's interesting that I'm honored to be able to be called upon to find out if I would be willing to do a service. Or the different things you get called into the community for unexpected deaths and just the sorrow and the things that are just out there. But you got to walk in this joy. You've got to walk in his strength. You've got to continually call upon him. I have to do that, you know, to be able to survive. How about you? Do you ever get home from a day that's just whipped you? And you're just exhausted, you know, for the things that's on your mind or your job. And I'm not going to really say the physical aspects of work, but I'm just saying mentally, are you mentally drained at times? And when you get home mentally drained, there's nothing more for you. You know, your body, even your body is weak, and you're trying to figure this stuff out. And it's an amazing thing with our mind and how our mind works and how our mind can drain your body. Your mind, the things that you're thinking and processing and dealing with and trying to handle and trying to come up with a conclusion, trying to come up with an answer, trying to come up with whatever is necessary, that after many hours of doing that, you'll just like, whew, be wiped out. And you go home and sometimes your family doesn't quite understand that. Maybe they do. Maybe they got the same type of situation, you know, that happens that way. I'm thankful that doesn't happen a whole lot to me, you know, but there's times that it does happen. And you just have to reflect on things and trying to figure out what is going on. Was I really expending that much energy at a particular situation? And then you begin to think about maybe mentally I was. And all I was doing was just standing there. But I say, Lord, help me. Lord, shared with a situation this week where I told someone, I said, well, you know, in God's word, it says when people, and this is the body of Christ and all that, but I even if I'm around people that maybe don't have relationship with Christ, but they're human, when they're going through a sorrowful time, I can weep too. Don't even know them. They're not even maybe Christian. But there's a spirit within me that I feel that sensitivity, because I know as a human, they're hurting. And if they're hurting, it's like, I think as a Christian more so, you kind of take that on a little bit just because it's like, oh, you feel for them. So I said, yes, you know, it says in God's word, when someone is sorrowful and weeping, we too, and I too at this time with you, you know, at the passing of a loved one. But it also says when there's joy, we rejoice together in joy. And I don't know how long it'll take, but I said the days ahead will be brighter little by little. I don't have an answer as far as how long that'll be. But I say those things because of my conviction with my God. They may be totally unchurched, unknowing of the things of God. But I'm walking in the things. As much as they're un-things of God, I'm walking in the things of God. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in those lives of those people. I was at a call to where I asked if I could pray for them for the situation. They didn't respond. They didn't say yes. They didn't say no. So I didn't pray. I'd say it again after 20, 30 minutes later. Still no responses of they would want prayer for this serious, sad situation that they just got dealt. But did that keep me from praying quietly to myself while I'm in that room? No, I just stood back and didn't say a whole lot. Bow my head a little bit, close my eyes a little bit. I'm just asking for the grace of God to be there, for the comfort of God to be there. What else could I do? What else could anybody do? Take it from that situation, take it to your situation in your job, take it to your situation in your home, whatever it is. There are things that are, will be, always it seems, out of your control. But it's when I know that those things are out of my control that I can turn the switch or whatever it is and just flow with God and say, God, we're going to stand strong and you're here with me and you will help. So this week as we go through, as I went through these things of, boy, this is just a terrible times. But my joy, it doesn't take long as you begin to reflect upon the things of God, as you begin to see His promises, as you begin to recall His word, that pretty soon what happens in your spirit starts building up, starts moving, starts chugging along, you know. And He will bring you up, amen. He lifts me up. I'm trying to think of a song. That's taking a lot of time. But anyway, it has to do with, he lifts me up, well, from the miry clay. He sets my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my heart today, a song of praise. 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 Hallelujah. See, be quick to praise. Be quick to call on him. Be quick to call upon that peace, that strength, that joy. Lord, they're going to think I'm crazy if I start laughing in here. Well, I'm not going to say laugh out loud, but within your spirit, just begin to build yourself up with the spirit within you. Amen. And to be strong. And it's amazing when you get that strength within you from internally and the fortitude, whatever inside, the spirit man gets built back up by that of the Holy Spirit. Pretty soon that situation you're even in can turn and you see something different. And you can be sustained through those times. And it works. Amen. But you got to call upon him. You got to walk it with him. It says we got to are we not remaining in Christ? His word says, remain in me. A lot of times we don't remain in him. We remain in him when we want something, and then when it's good, we leave him aside. Just like anything in this day and age that we think that once I've got it and I'm no longer interested in it, it's like kids and toys. We set it aside. And like kids with toys, months, weeks later, all of a sudden they're bored with something else and they find this toy that they set aside, 3 weeks ago, and they go, wow, I'll start playing with this again. Sometimes that's the way we walk and work with Christ, is we set him aside and then we go back to him when we need him again, and we wonder why we need him again. We're always going to need him. I myself, I would just prefer to cut right to the chase and just remain in him. Remain in him daily. Let him richly live in you and through you, be with you, encourage you, bring joy back to you, be able to laugh, ha 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 ha, all these things that are good for the soul. When people need to cry, you tell them, cry. I told them if you need to yell out, yell out. Don't harbor it in. God has put those things in us to release and relieve us of some stress, some anxiety, some anxiousness. Some of it is good screams. When your football team scores a touchdown, yeah! And then when they fumble, you scream, ah! One scream is good, one scream is bad. But we do those things to release that energy within us. One of the things you always want to tell people that are going through a tragic time is let your emotions flow. Do what you got to do, whatever you need to. In life, we've got to be able to let your emotions flow, And hopefully, as I am walking and with Christ, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, and all of these things that we just looked at, sorrow will be gone, and he'll take the sorrow away, will be replaced with joys and love and all of these things that we can walk in. Let them be evident on you daily. When people look at you, that's what they want to see, right? Well, I don't know if that's what they want to see, but that's hopefully what they will see. Goodness, 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 goodness. We had the elections on Tuesday, right, of this past week. So now we got a bunch of pastors getting together on Wednesday. That was so funny. Where I did say a whole lot, but there are different ones coming in. It's like, well, I don't understand this. I guess we'll just pray. And that's what a lot of prayer was, Lord, you're in control. We pray for the new government, new ones in authority coming on, whatever the case is. But it was so crazy, the consensus, that just, we didn't take a vote on things per se, but you can kind of read between the lines when they're just like, oh, wow, whoa, what was going on there? What happened there? You know? And it's like, well, we just keep it in prayer, and that's what we do. So, you know, that was part of the week too, wasn't it? You know, it's kind of crazy. I get myself so kind of like, as much as I try to stay away from those things, it kind of comes on me at times, you know, like, oh, you stand like, whoever gets in, we'll just keep it in prayer. And then all of a sudden when different results come through and maybe they don't line up with my results, all of a sudden I'm going, what? What? Oh, God would say, well, Tim, didn't you just say 2 days ago?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, you know, we that's part of our lives. That's part, you know, we're just, life is so ongoing and changing, isn't it? And we find that many of these things that are just taking place in today, I mean, it says in his word about, you know, the things of the God of this age just brought things upon even Jesus, you know, as far as trying to have him change and follow him and confess this and do that, you know. That's happening today. The enemy still wants us to do that and look at him and even begin to serve him. I mean, we got to remain strong and we got to remain focused on God. Amen. Got to focus on him. So, you know, as we went through these things and the joy is my strength, I hope today your joy is your strength and that your strength comes out of your joy. Remember when he said in Acts, that video about we believe that God will help us when he puts a storm in our path? We think like, hey, that's there to help me. That's there to build me up. That's there. God brings these things before me so that as I go through that, I'm going to learn and be mature and perfect in those things. And he'll always be there for that. But he says, what about those times that we bring this? Anybody here bring your own storm on yourself? Yeah. Anybody cause your own boat to rock and there wasn't nothing happening until you did what you did? And then he says, don't you think that that same God that would be back when he was putting you through that particular storm, maybe to bring you through to show him to yourself, that he would not come and help you as well? He will. He's not going to leave you out there destitute. And so much of that is like, here again, what are we focusing on? And I was so interesting as I just thought a little bit more about what he was saying, that do you think that Peter had any more capability of walking on the water if it was calm than when it was storms and waves happening? It didn't matter. Either way, you're not going to be able to walk on water if it's calm or if it's really choppy. But here again, it's like, where do we place our focus on? I want to focus on Christ. I want to focus on him because he says, he gives me that joy. He gives me that peace. He gives me that strength. He takes that sorrow from me. He's there for me. Amen. And I want that for today. How about you? Hallelujah. Did this speak to anybody when he says, you know what, when you're in that bottom, when you're down in that valley, when you're down in the deepest pit down there, don't you think God is there as well? The same God. He'll be with you in that pit. He'll be with you on that mountaintop. See, for some reason, when we're down in the pit, we think that God can't reach down into that pit. And we think it's just us down there, just me, myself, and I. And you know what? Probably a lot of the times, it's my pit that I, or the valley, it's whatever, it's where I put myself. I drove myself, I walked myself, I did something down that mountaintop, into that valley, into that crevice, into that ground, to where it's like, oh my gosh, I did that myself. But there's, every time that I've called upon my Lord to help me, he's helped me. Has he helped you? Are those times that you've cried out? Have you ever thought of a time when you've cried out and the Lord didn't help you? I can, I guess. He probably didn't help me in the way that I thought. Because we've got preconceived ideas about that too. Of how when I cry for help, I've already got a kind of a concept in my mind what kind of help I want and what the help should look like. And so I cry out to God, help! Day or two goes by. God, didn't you hear me? Help! He heard me. His help may be coming. maybe withstood that 21 days, like in the spirit realm, as it all is. And this is all we're battling in the spiritual realm, right? See, I'm not battling against the flesh. I'm not battling against, even though there's a guy right here in this chair and he's cursing and he's mean and he's mad and he wants to hit me and beat me up and all that, I'm not battling against him physically. It's the spirit within him. It's the spirit, the demonic or whatever is in him that's wanting to battle, and it acts, and what does it do? Amen. Well, it does just like us walking in the spirit where we show the things and the fruits of Christ. Amen. He's just showing the fruits of the God that he is serving, or the spirit that he is allowed to be moved by. We are a little smarter than that. For thus that it had the Holy Spirit, when something like that comes upon us, we set it aside quickly. Like Dan has said many times, we read it. We don't need to get into a major big discourse about battling with the devil. I, at times when I've sensed that happening or whatever, I just say, get behind me, devil. Get behind me. Get behind me. Because I'm not going to focus on anything. Who focuses on anything behind you? Shouldn't. That's the best place for the devil in your life, is to be behind you. Oh, he's going to sneak up on me. No, he won't. Because God says he's going to protect me, you know, all around me. He's around me. We've got that force field around us that God is protecting us. He's before us. He's beside us. He's behind us. He's protecting us. He just wants us to keep our focus on him for that protection. And you might have to tell the devil a couple of times to get behind you. You might have to tell him Tuesday, and on Thursday you might have to say it again. Get behind me. This is not going to take place. You're defeated. I'm serving Christ, my Lord. And as you continually do that, the enemy gets a little bit further behind you. It's not to say that he won't come back, okay? Nothing in God's word says that once the devil flees from you, that he will stay away from you, does it? It says he will come back for a more opportune time. So that just tells me the enemy likes to watch Tim, and it might be several days, weeks, months, years, whatever, that he's maybe really attacked me. But when he sees an opportune time, and whatever that opportune time that I open myself up to, the devil is quickly to see that, and he will try to agitate that or come into that place that I've opened up. And it's in my part to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be protected by the Holy Spirit, to where when maybe that part starts opening up, I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit that says, stay away from that, go away from that, turn away from that, don't do that, don't say that, don't think that, don't. Because God loves me, and he wants to help me. But in the natural, as many times as we want to help someone in the natural, a lot of times the only one that can help themselves in the natural is who? Is the person that has the issue. You know, whether it's drugs, alcohols, pornography, anger, anything, health, whatever it is. But a lot of times we always want to be able to help, and we should want to try to help and do those things. That's great. There's times and things that I've tried to help people with after they revert back to it. I just, like, Lord, what can I do? I keep them in prayer, amen. Do I not think that prayer is more powerful than my physical help? I do think that. I would rather, I know that my prayer is stronger, my prayer is able to move mountains, now, will that mountain move where I want it? Will that mountain move when I say it? Will that mountain take and do whatever I want? By faith, I believe it'll happen, but I've also got to, by faith, trust that God has the answer, and God's going to do it on his desires and wills, amen, by thy will be done, Lord. But I can't walk around defeated because I've prayed and nothing I've seen happen. Because that opens up the part for that enemy maybe to say, hey, that's that more opportune time. That situation that Tim's been praying for, it hasn't come about, and it's been some time. I'm going to use that as kind of like a burr in the saddle and try to create maybe some whatever, you know. But praise God. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you individually, Lord, for each one here today. You love us. You care for us. Thank you, Father. I would believe the Father would say, I hear your prayers. I hear your hearts. I hear your concerns. I see the need that you see. Trust me. Trust me. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not saying we don't do that and anybody here is not doing that, but I think it's just for all of us to understand that there is so much in this life that the enemy wants to zap your strength, zap your peace, take away your joy, take away anything and everything that the Lord gives you. The enemy wants to come and take anything that God gives you. Amen? If Jesus says, peace I leave with you, who do you think is going to want to take your peace? The devil. Joy I leave with you. Who wants to take your joy? The devil. Strength I give to you. The devil. So just be aware, everything in God's word that he says is for you, remain in me, and this I'll do, and this you have, and this I'll do for you, are the exact same things you can just put in there after that, say, oh, and P.S., by the way, the devil wants to take that same thing from you. So who's going to win? You're going to win by remaining in who? Jesus, as Jesus said throughout that vine. The vine and the branches, remain in me, remain in me, remain in him, remain, remain, remain. No, it's not the noodles ramen, it's remain. Lunch is coming. But we've got to do our part. We've got to remain in him. And all this stuff shall come, and all of this stuff will take a place within our life and our time, but we remain in him. And the Father who saw us in the beginning, our Father sees us in the end. He sees everything in between. He knows our tomorrows before we even close our eyes to enter in for our tomorrows. He's heard our prayers, and those prayers, if they've not been answered on this day, those prayers will be or have been, or the answer is coming. I thank you, Lord, for the prayers answered, Lord, that you have answered. And Lord, we just wait now and give you honor and glory for the manifestation of them. Lord, manifest those prayers right now, Lord, before our eyes. Hallelujah. You know the need. You know the situation. You know our finances. You know we're needing a home. You know we're needing this. You know this. You know that. You know whatever it is. And Lord, I know that you know. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. And when I can't trust you, Lord, on my own abilities and my strength, come and give me that strength, Lord. Be my strength. He'll be your strength too. He wants us to do these things, to remain in him. But he says, your help comes from me. Ask him for his help. Father, as we close here today,